Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
One thing was obvious last night. The Packers are for real. The 49ers are banged up. What could be less obvious is who is the best wide receiver in the NFL. And the only reason I say that is because there are so many great choices. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Good Friday morning to you. All right, here we go. Let's get right to it. Davante Adams, 10 catches, 173 yards, one touchdown. Aaron Rodgers, 305 yards, four TDs. They have been magic together. Davante's missed some time with a hamstring injury. But yesterday, after balling out, he essentially said straight up, when asked, are you the best wide receiver in football?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think that's not being conceited. That's just being confident. I think, obviously what I've done and what I'm going to continue to do is going to prove that to anybody who isn't on board with that. But I truly believe that just based off of the work that I put in. At the end of the day, I'll tell you, yes, absolutely. I think I'm the best wide receiver in the game. But there's a lot of things that go into me being able to make that statement.
It's quite a statement he made on the field last night. Keys watching some of the routes he was running last night, just burning the 49ers secondary, which didn't have Richard Sherman in there last night.
I don't think Richard Sherman wanted any parts of that last night. And I love Rich. That's my man. But I don't know if he wanted to see that.
See these numbers real quick on Davante Adams. So 53rd overall pick in the 2014 NFL draft. So that would make him a second round pick. In 2014, he's been in the league 7 years. It took 5 years until he finally cracked the vaunted 1,000 yards for a season. He's been great, but a little banged up. So we want to know, is Davante Adams right? Is he the best wide receiver in the NFL? Or, straight up, who is? That's what we want to know from you on the Dr. Pepper call-in line at 888-SAY-ESPN or KeyJNZ on Twitter, if that's easier for you. Who is the best wide receiver in the NFL? Line up the phone calls, line up the tweets. We'll get to your thoughts in just a second. But Key, let's get your top five. Let's see where Adams fits in there.
Well, I mean, if you go for me, obviously I look at my nephew and I'm never going to go against what I believe he truly is. He's a difference maker. I don't give a damn what anybody says about his route running, for that matter. And you look at that, they don't pay you $20 million and let you catch 149 balls if you're not legit. DeAndre Hopkins, clearly the same sort of way I feel about Michael Thomas, I feel about DeAndre Hopkins. The same way I feel about DeAndre Hopkins, I feel about Julio Jones. Same way I feel about Julio Jones, I feel about Davante Adams. Those four guys, for me, are all interchangeable if they were on the board. I'm not crying if I miss one. I'm like, okay, cool, who's next? Who's next? Then the fifth guy is emerging guy in DK Metcalf, who's young, who is a beast, who's averaging 20 yards a reception. I mean, he's huge, he's strong, he's fast, all of those things. The only thing that he needs to continue to do is polish the route tree, 1 to 9. He needs to go from 1 to 9 and just polish it.
What does that mean, 1 to 9?
Well, it's the route tree. It's different routes depending on the systems you're in. A 9 route is a go route. Typically, it's 0. You start at 0, which is most likely like a hitch. Then you go to a 1, is an out. A 2 is an in. A slant, a 3 is an out. You kind of go through the tree, and different numbers dictate what route it is.
So 9's like a straight go.
Yeah, straight go. 8 would be a post, but then it could be depending on the system, you could call it 8, and it might be a skinny post opposed to a big post over the top. Just depends on the system.
By the way, real quick before Jay jumps in, they replaced your law firm photo with a photo of you playing at SC wearing number 3. There it is.
Well, that's better. They had me looking like I was getting ready for court or something to defend somebody. I didn't like
that. It's part of our law firm. What are you talking about?
I didn't like that. It didn't have me looking right.
Is the jury still out on Davante Adams being the best receiver in football?
Look, I know we haven't seen a lot of Michael Thomas this year, but I feel like we're about to get a pretty heavy dosage. Would you consider that, Key?
I think he's going to play this week. It seemed like he has some limited practices on Wednesday and Thursday. I don't know. I haven't talked to him, but it just seems like all the information coming out of New Orleans camp between Adam Schefter and what Sean Payton is saying is like he's on track to play unless he gets some sort of setback. Now, look, again, all these guys are interchangeable. Mm-hmm. Stephon Diggs is a hell of a player. There's no question about it. But for me, I like these five guys. I don't dislike Mike Evans or Keenan Allen. When you say five, I only got five spots. Somebody got to come off, right?
And you also don't have Tyreek Hill in there because he's
– he's a special box, yeah, man. Tyreek Hill is like a – when you start saying in basketball, for instance, Jay Will, you say, well, who's the best point guard? Like, I don't consider Steph Curry a point guard. He's a special, case. Yeah. You say point guard. Now, Kyrie Irving is a point guard to me. That's a point guard. You know, or Chris Paul is a point guard. Where Steph, he's like a special box over there somewhere all by himself, and that's Tyreek Hill. Because people will say, well, how can that be Tyreek Hill? Man, you crazy. Man, I'm not talking about Tyreek Hill as a receiver. He's a special category. That's all. And OBJ is hurt. OBJ is hurt. He's not playing the rest of the year. Or else there'll be conversations around if he was healthy. Is he a top flight receiver?
And Zubin, you brought the point in our first hour where you made mention of all the quarterbacks that are actually playing alongside all these top five wide receivers. And they're pretty special quarterbacks.
Right. Well, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, all those guys, right? Aaron Rodgers.
But all of these guys that I just talked about, despite who's throwing to them, they're going to ball regardless.
They're going to go get it.
They're going to go get it regardless. DeAndre Hopkins was playing with – I don't even – his list of quarterbacks, he put me to shame. You said, you know his list of quarterbacks outside of Deshaun Watson in Houston?
Right.
The trash that he was operating with?
Tom Savage.
Savage and Ryan Mallett and just some just straight up hot garbage. But then he goes and he gets Deshaun. Rest is history. He goes to Kyler Murray. Rest is history. So these guys can play with anybody. They just, that's who they are.
Any thoughts on his top five? Does he leave anybody out? You, Mike Evans was a guy that you wanted to talk about from a pass-catching perspective.
Well, I said Mike Evans, but I think then you get into this, like, I'm not really crazy hot on that, though. You know, it's like the people that he's made mention of, like, these are all five unique, special individuals.
Mike,
you know, it's
if Mike Evans is on the board, let's say all five of these dudes are gone. They're gone. And Mike Evans is sitting there. You think I'm crying? I need a box of tissue? Hell no. It's like, okay, cool. Thank you. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Mike Evans. Again, there's nothing wrong with Stephon Diggs. It's just that these five, to me, are simply unique in their own ways. That's all.
Let's get the fellas weighing in. Once again, Dr. Pepper call-in line. Hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN. Simply put, who's the best receiver in the NFL? Key says Michael Thomas. Who do you say?
Yeah, I say Michael Thomas, and I'm always saying Michael Thomas. It's my damn nephew. What am I going to do? Blood is thicker than water.
This is true.
And he's a baller.
He is. He is. Who's the best wide receiver in the NFL? Chris in Tennessee, who do you got?
So I'd like to say Julio Jones of the Atlanta Falcons is the best wide receiver in the NFL because he commands either a double team, pass interference, holding, or a touchdown. Plain and simple.
No, and here's what Chris is right about. See, I love people that kind of understand football. Is he's right. He affects the game in many ways. I mean, he doesn't have to have a reception, right? And I remember this because Bill Parcells always said, yeah, he doesn't. You don't have to have a wide open separation to throw him the ball. Something good is going to happen when the ball goes his way. It's either going to be a holding, a pass interference, or he's going to come down with it. The thing that Julio has to get better at, or not Julio, but the Atlanta Falcons, is they got to figure out how to get him going in the red zone. They don't. It's like he should be having like 10 touchdowns a year, but for whatever reason, and I think it's because they do double him in there a lot in the red zone, so he doesn't get an opportunity to get a lot of balls, jump balls, things of that nature that you could take advantage of in the red zone with him.
Lewis in Texas, you're on ESPN Radio. Who's the best receiver in the NFL?
I got D-Hop. I think, like Keyshawn said, the list of receivers he had has been you can name them. So I think if you give him a good quarterback, I think he'll explode even more than what he's doing now.
Good point. Knox in Washington, you're on ESPN Radio. Who is the best receiver in the NFL?
Yeah, so I like the guy's take on Julio Jones, but right now, if you're talking the same thing, DK Metcalf from Seattle. And if we're going with full body of work for the best receiver in the game, hands down, bar none, Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, Larry Fitzgerald is out of the equation. He's already in the Hall of Fame, man. We're not even thinking about damn Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah. He did that 20 years ago. DK Metcalf is on his way. He's certainly emerging on his way. I mean, this week is going to be big against the Bills, the Buffalo Bills, he gets an opportunity to get a top-line corner, and so we'll see.
Well, Keith, can I say this? I know you have your list, and obviously Michael Thomas doesn't have a big body of work, D-Hop does, but would you say out of everybody on your list, though, Devontae Adams is playing the best currently right now? I know that's how you rank them, but you have to make a case that Davante Adams is playing the best currently out of all the five.
He's been hot the last couple of weeks. Yeah. There's no question about it. He's certainly been hot, but so has Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs is balling too.
I was just saying, out of your list.
DK Metcalf is balling. Lockett is balling. I mean, you can argue a lot of different receivers.
All those guys will be on the same field, by the way, Sunday. How about that? Those
a lot of them are going to be on the same field. But also, I had this conversation with Laura Rutledge the other day offline when we were talking during the studio about how you talk about certain guys. And what I always tell you, Jay, is follow the money.
It's follow the money. I know you've said that multiple times.
How much money are you paying that guy? If you're paying that guy at the top of that position, that tells me something. That tells me you think he's that good, the value. So when you look at these receivers, Julio's, the Michaels, the D-Hops, the soon-to-be Davante Adams will be in that $20-plus million receiver category. That tells me that he's a top dude, because you're not just paying top dudes that's not top dudes, guys that's just bodies. You're not doing it.
Henry in California, you're on ESPN Radio. Who's the best wide receiver in the NFL?
Okay, so I heard all your tops. I'm just asking you to think about Lockett in Seattle. I know DK Metcalf, I think he's number one, but Lockett, that man catches everything.
You know, Henry, here's what I'll say about Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett has always been good, right? There's no question about it. He falls in a category similar to Tyreek Hill, where he kind of gets his own little special box because you can do so many different things with him. He can return kicks and punts. If you need him to run reverses, he can run reverses. If you want to run slip screens with him, you can run slip screens with him. If you want him to lift the coverage, he can lift the coverage. So it's all a little special box for a unique guy. You want to play him in the slot to take advantage of a linebacker in a scheme that you feel you could take advantage of, you do that with him. So certain receivers fall into their own little category.
Fair enough. Now, John in Virginia is on ESPN Radio. We're asking the question, who is the best wide receiver in the NFL? But, John, you got a question yourself.
Well, I actually have a couple of questions for you. One, Key just said follow the money. But if you look at the Dallas Cowboys and what Cooper's getting paid, I don't think you can really follow the money there for the best receiver. But my question is,
paid the money, he was one of the best receivers. Since then, things have tailed off for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I can understand that. That's for sure. My question is, and I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys, who is the best receiver that doesn't have a future Hall of Fame quarterback throwing to them right now?
I would probably say it would be Stephon Diggs, Allen Robinson, Cooper Kupp, and Robert Woods. And even though Jared Goff is still early in his career, who knows at the end if he's going to go to a Hall of Fame? I mean, he's certainly putting up Hall of Fame numbers in his career. You know, the numbers, the longevity will certainly be that. And that's what I would say.
And right now with Murray, I mean, Murray's out to a great start, but you can't call him a surefire Hall of Famer.
Who is that?
Kyler Murray for DeAndre Hopkins. You can't call him at that point, right?
No,
it's
too
early.
No.
Same with Josh Allen. Like Stephon Diggs, what he's doing right now is.
Yeah, but I'm not. They don't no. No, not at all.
Let's go to Nate in Connecticut. I want to switch it up here. Nate in Connecticut's on ESPN Radio. Nate in Connecticut is on board with the bold statement we heard last night. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Maybe a little bit of recency bias after watching the game last night, but definitely on board with Davante Adams. I mean, he looks healthy, and he man-to-man coverage, it's not even fair. And then you look at the respect he gets from the defense. You're talking about that earlier. I mean, look at the catches. Those guys had wide open touchdowns last night. Everybody's following Davante Adams. So that's who I'm going with right now. Like you said, playing well right now, healthy. He just looks great.
And all of that is a part of, you know, when you get into these arguments, you try to tell people, it's like, man, when you're being double teamed and you're paying in the defense, even if they're not doubling you and they're looking at you and they're sliding over to you, it lifts the coverage. It takes the pressure off the next guy. So when you talk about Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers needing receivers, all he needs is a body or two that can catch the football. He doesn't need Will Fuller. He doesn't need to have two number ones because he got Davante Adams. One guy manages to take advantage and coverage away from everybody else.
Andy in Tennessee, from Fuller as a current Texan to a former Texan, who's the best wide receiver in football?
I'd go with DeAndre Hopkins. He's got the stats. Like Keyshawn pointed out, he had multiple quarterbacks, played for two teams. He can block. He's very durable. And to be honest with you, he doesn't have to brag about it. Devontae had to come out and brag about it. You don't hear DeAndre doing that.
Yeah, everybody skins a cat differently, though. It just great. Personalities are different. Just because he doesn't brag about it doesn't mean that he's not thinking that. And that's just who D-Hop is. But, again, all of these dudes are interchangeable. I mean, if the Arizona Cardinals had Michael Thomas or Julio Jones, you think they'd be crying? And if New Orleans had DeAndre Hopkins, you think they would be crying?
Of course not.
No. So they're all interchangeable.
Fair enough. Starting Monday, November 9th, you can stream the Dan Lebatard Show with Stu Gotz-Greeny, the Max Kellerman Show, and Shanae Golic Jr. live on ESPN+, along with live sports, exclusive originals, and more. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. And as always, you can listen to ESPN radio stations all across the country on Sirius XM and the ESPN app. Let's open up the cash register. You want to make a little money?
Let's make some money out here.
What prop bets is Jay betting on this weekend? And which is he passing on?
Hey, look, me's is different than you.
Jay will or Jay won't?
Let's get this money.
Let's get paid. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests, including Arizona State head coach Herm Edwards, getting ready for a 9 a.m. kickoff in Los Angeles tomorrow.
So crazy.
When his ASU squad takes on Keys USC Trojans. We'll speak to Coach Edwards coming up here in 14 minutes. But let's begin with Jay Will or Won't. We'll set up these games, these interesting storylines, and then Jay will try to line your pocket with a little cash.
The Without You, There Wouldn't Be Us Bowl.
You complete me.
Baltimore at Indianapolis.
Speaking of, one had to leave in the middle of the night so the other could have a team. That was way back in the day. All right, so here you go. Baltimore at Indianapolis. Lamar Jackson, total passing completions. Here is the number, Jay. Do you want to go over or under 18.5 completions for Lamar in Indy?
He's been averaging 16 completions per game. I'm going to go under on this one. You don't think? You going over?
Yeah, I'm going to go.
You going over?
I'm going to go over.
You think Hollywood gets enough targets this game? You don't think somebody, he needs to go to Twitter afterwards and complain about it?
Somebody will. Somebody will step up and help Lamar out in the passing game because Phillip Rivers will be throwing the ball, and they're going to want to show that Lamar could throw against Phillip Rivers as well. Watch what I tell you.
I think the Ravens are going to win their defense, but that says it all to you. Somebody, we don't even know names. Somebody, praise the Lord, step up.
I know Snead is over there. Willie Snead is over
there.
Yeah,
he almost got killed on the last possession.
No, K-I-L-T.
That's what I said, killed.
Yeah, you got to. But when you say killed, you got to follow that up with K-I-L-T.
Ah, okay.
Because then they would think that you – yeah, they would get it because then they would think, uh-oh, right. He didn't botch the English.
Or the huge Scottish demo that is really keeping ESPN Radio alive for the last 30-plus years. Over is at minus 115 for that number at 18.5. Jay says coming into the season, again, per game average slightly lower than that. Let's go.
The Week 2 MVP's game.
Mr. Unlimited.
Seattle at Buffalo.
Orlovsky special, the MVP game.
Is it really the Week 2 MVP's game, as in plural, or is this one MVP player candidate playing in this one? I'm going to go with the – I know you're saying Russell Wilson total passing touchdowns over 2.5 plus 150. I take the over on that. Josh Allen total passing touchdowns over 1.5 minus 150. I take the over on that too.
Yeah, I think you –
it's a shootout.
I think – I don't know if it's going to be a shootout or not. I think the defense is getting healthy for Seattle, and certainly they travel well. They play well on the road. When they come from west to east, for whatever reason, Seattle gets it done. They've always gotten it done. But I think when you talk about Ken Norton Jr., you talk about Pete Carroll dialing up the defense, trying to get that defense style, get it going. Jamal Adams is back in the lineup. This will be a little bit different football game for Josh Allen. They'll take away Stephon Diggs and make them do something else with the football.
He'll love this. Here comes the first game of the audition.
Tua versus Cuda.
I like Kyler Murray as a player. Just watching him run around and stuff like that, is as I would say, it's cute.
Miami at Arizona.
Very, very adorable.
Total passing touchdowns for Mr. Adorable. Over 1.5. The game will be in the desert on Sunday, Miami at Arizona. Jay, Kyler Murray, total passing touchdowns, over, under 1.5.
I'm going to take over here. I think between the way Kyler Murray's been playing, plus he's such a such a threat on the ground, I think that opens up the passing attack.
It should open up the passing attack, but here's what I would say. If I'm Brian Flores, I'm taking away D-Hop. I'm going to make you throw the ball to Christian Kirk. I'm going to make my safeties pay attention to Christian Kirk over the top. I know Larry Fitzgerald is one of the better short route running receivers at his age right now in the National Football League. So if you do that, then that number may shrink. I still think he gets over 1.5 touchdowns just because of the offense. They like to throw the ball all over the lot.
Last one. Uh-oh. The word the that these don't two call guys him
bus bowl.
Bus it.
New York and Washington.
The don't call him bus bowl. This was our poll question yesterday, by the way.
I want to believe. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So no worries. Sorry, I got to set you up here, Jay. Rubbing salt in the wounds here, Key. Normally we're going with total passing touchdowns, total completions, but for Daniel Jones, we got to go total interceptions. Over a half, under a half. Does he throw one?
I want to say he's not going to throw one, but after watching last time they played against the Bucks, watching him throw for two bad passes, I actually think I'm going to go under. I hope that he can show a little bit more poise in the pocket, and as Key would always say, just throw the damn ball in the third row.
Yeah, but here's what I would say. I'm gonna kind of scratch that bet and just say turnovers.
Okay.
Because of the defensive front.
A lot of fumbles for this kid, too.
Yeah, a lot of sack fumble coming because of the Washington's defensive front. He's going to probably throw a pick or two or maybe three, but yeah. I can almost guarantee you, as Joe Feinbaum would say, guarantee you that he's going to fumble. I can almost guarantee you a sack fumble is coming.
See, Tua's job is safe. Daniel Jones, second year, turn the ball over at this rate. He's trending towards not safe.
That's true. Jones in year two. Tua has essentially played two games. Very interesting storyline surrounding both. Speaking of interesting, on the way, the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Kicking off tomorrow morning on the West Coast at 9 a.m. And the coach of one of the two teams who will be involved in that matchup, Herm Edwards, joins us next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Well, it'll be the complete opposite of Pac-12 after dark because it'll be Pac-12 in the morning. Arizona State getting set to take on Keys USC Trojans with, listen to this, and I'm going to say this slowly so I don't botch it, but it is correct, a 9 a.m. Pacific start time between Arizona State and USC. And it's a pleasure to welcome in Arizona State's head coach, Herm Edwards, who joins us this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. But having worked with Herm for years at ESPN, he's up on the treadmill at 5 a.m., so he's not going to have to worry about 9 a.m. isn't any early for Herm. Herm, we'll get to all the talk about the 9 a.m. kick and why the Pac-12 is doing it, your thoughts on it. But quickly, your thoughts on Cal and Washington, already a game off the board before the season begins for you all.
I feel bad for both opponents, and college football is that way right now. When you think about, there's been cancellations all through the season for teams that even started before we had started. A little bit of the problem we have is really not a lot of time to make those games up. So all of a sudden, right out the gate, you get a postponement by two teams, and just feel bad for the players and the coaches because there's so much you have to put into this to try to play. And then when something like this pops up, there's really nothing you can do.
Herm, how about them Lakers and them Dodgers, man?
How about them Lakers? How about them Lakers? Yes, yes, and the Dodgers. But I'm a Giant fan, Keith, so I got to make it. Lakers, I'm okay with. I'm a Laker guy, you know that. But I'm a Giant fan. But I'm happy for the Dodgers. I mean, they've been in it quite some time. It is good to see them win the World Series again.
Yeah, now, Herm, we talk about this late start in college football. Everybody else kind of got going. I think we're the last big conference to get going. What does this do for us with this late start?
Well, I think one thing for us is that we're in the mix of playing football. And obviously there's two teams right now in our conference that are ranked already without even playing a game. You think about Oregon and USC. So that tells you something about the people looking at those two football teams saying, look, if they can win out, then obviously they might have a chance, to play in one of those playoff games. So it's kind of interesting when you look at it with only playing six games and maybe seven, obviously, if you go to the championship game. But a lot of pressure on every team in this conference and the fact that you don't have a lot of games and every game is important.
What has practice been like in preparation this week, taking on USC, a team that narrowly got out of ASU last year with a victory for you guys, especially if you want to get to the Pac-12 title game?
Well, I think our guys understand, who we're playing. We played SC 2 years now that I've been here, and it's always gone to the fourth quarter. I mean, both games that were played in, we won the first one my first year here in the Coliseum by three. They got an early lead on us and did a fantastic job of putting up points early, and then we kind of slowed it down and came back and had the ball at the end and lost by five. So they've been close games in the fourth quarter, very competitive games, and, they have a football team with a lot of guys coming back, especially on offense as well as defense. You know this, Keith. Very, very talented. They have a lot of talented players on both sides of the ball.
How you doing, Herm? Jay Williams here, man. How you holding up?
I'm doing well, my friend. You doing okay with those two guys? You're just trying to keep them in check, aren't you?
Man, you see, Key has a USC varsity jacket on beside me now. It's every single day, man. I need you guys to come through.
Well, that's his alma mater, and I get it. Me and Key go way back. So, look, I get it. I mean, this is what's great about college football, regardless of when you graduated and, you're always going to – you're pulling for your college team. My problem is I went to a couple colleges, so I didn't just go to one.
Herm, how do you guys get prepared for a game like this, considering it's your first game, but also maybe potentially the biggest game of the year?
Well, you take it at that. It is the biggest game of the year because it's our first game, and I look at it that way. I've always looked at games this way. It's every game's important. I think they are because – when you start putting more importance on other games, I think you lose the sight of what football is all about. It's about how you play the day you play. And they're all important games. I mean, you don't prepare all this time. I mean, look, we've been out for, 9 months? There's been a lot of preparation to go into playing a football game. This is a funny sport. You actually practice more than you play. And so, for me personally, every game is important. I mean, if not, why do you play? Why do you have a schedule?
All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Coach Herm Edwards is joining us on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Herm, how did you prepare on Election Day with all everything that's going on with your kids? What did you guys do on your day off?
Well, we actually, on Tuesday, we knew it was coming. The whole Pac-12 decided on Election Day that we were going to give the conference athletes a day off. And we just treated it like a Monday. So Monday we came to work, where generally you're off on Monday and you start Tuesday. So we just flipped it. They practiced on Monday. Tuesday they were off. Wednesday we got back to work Thursday. And now it is Friday here. And we're going to have a walkthrough here shortly and then get on an airplane and go to L.A. and then have another. We had our COVID test this morning already. Then we're going to have another COVID test when we get there around 4:30 through 6:30. Bed check around 10 o'clock, and then we have a 5 a.m. wake-up call on Saturday morning for pregame.
So, Herm, you've had a couple wide receivers here the last 2 years that go in the NFL draft, Nikhil Harry, the New England Patriots, and Brandon Ayuk. Go to San Francisco. Now you got Frank Darby and my man Johnny Wilson, freshman out of Calabasas. How did they do in training camp?
They've been fine, and Johnny is a guy, and you know him, Key. You watched him play. You know, he's a talented player. His size catches you by surprise a little bit, how big he is, and he's pretty fluid, you know, being that big of an athlete. He has a big catch radius, which is always good. And Frank has kind of been a guy that's kind of, you know, been in the background a little bit, but now with Nikhil leaving and obviously Ayuk leaving, he's the guy that has all the experience at the receiver position, because really we're young at receiver. He's the one with all the experience. We only have one senior. It happens to be Frank. All the rest of those guys are either freshmen or sophomores.
Herm, how important has your relationship with Jaden Daniels been? Obviously, last year you guys both were together trying to get over winning eight games, but it seems like that's a pretty unique establishment of a relationship.
Well, it is, and I think anytime you're the head coach, you're going to be tied to the quarterback, but he's a special young man. I like his poise. He has tremendous poise, and, you know, and he's about ball. I mean, he's starting to learn how to become a leader. That was the big thing for him this year. I told him, I said, now you got to step into more of a leadership role, because it's your football team. We're building this offense around you. So we meet every morning. He comes in every morning around 7:30, and we have our little chat, and we kind of talk. And then he looks at his phone, because, you know, he's getting all these kids get all these texts. You know, they're looking at their phone, and I said, Jaden. And we talk for about 10 minutes every morning. So he's a good young man. I mean, and he's a good football player as well.
Herm, you know, I'm expecting for your defense to be lights out, one of the top 10 defenses in college football, and here's why. You got Marvin Lewis, you got AP, Antonio Pierce, you got Chris Hawkins over there, and you got Donnie Henderson on the defensive side of the ball. What do you think your defense will look like with all of that experience coaching them up?
Well, I think the philosophy is real simple for us, Key, is like, don't make it too complicated for the players to play. And allow them to play free. Now, we want to do this. We want to make sure that we put them in position to be successful, whether it's the D-line, linebackers, and the secondary. And I think the unit has to be coordinated. This is going to be fun to watch, because it's really a little bit of a brand-new offense, to be quite honest, really brand-new. And defense, we went from a 3-3-5, which SC is running now, to a traditional 4-3 defense. So that's kind of unique with a nickelback. And so it's going to be fun to watch both the defense as well as the offense kind of come together this season and watch how it unfolds.
Pac-12 is back sooner rather than later, later rather than sooner, whatever you want to say. It is back, and it'll be back bright and early. Got to set the alarm for the early morning kickoff, the exact opposite of Pac-12 after dark. Pac-12 with the cappuccino. Thank you very much, Herm. Best of luck tomorrow.
Man, go get him, Herm. Go get him.
Good luck, Herm.
You guys be well. God bless you now. Thank you.
Same to you. Great to have Herm Edwards, our old teammate.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because you root for both, man. Herm is incredible.
Herm is my guy, but, you know, he can afford to take an L for me, though. But if he wins, I'm like, cool. It's like, I really don't want him to win, but I want him to win.
Right. The key thing, of course, is they're both in the Pac-12 South, so that really makes it interesting. It's not like they're in the opposite division. This is, for bragging rights, early on, as Jay said, one of the more important games in the division we'll have all year. This is some breaking news we're going to be following, guys. I want to get your opinion on this. You don't have to be a baseball fan to weigh in on this one. As expected, which sounds crazy to say when I'm about to say the next sentence, the Boston Red Sox have rehired former manager Alex Cora. According to multiple reports, you may, of course, remember, Cora led the Red Sox to the 2018 World Series title, but mutually agreed to part ways with the club because he was the bench coach of the Houston Astros in 2017 and was seen as the mastermind of their sign-stealing scandal, which continues to obviously affect the Astros to this day. Ron Renicki took over for Alex Cora. The Red Sox had a disastrous season in 2020. They weren't going to bring Renicki back under any circumstances. And we're going to continue to talk about this throughout the remainder of the morning. But Key, the fact that this hire is not surprising is a little head-scratching.
Well, it really isn't surprising, because clearly they wanted to hire him. And when the position became available, that was one of the first names that was floated out there.
It's a lot of baggage, though.
What you going to do, man? It's Major League Baseball, clearly, right? A.J. Hinch was hired. He's hired. Soon the general manager will be hired. I mean, it's just,
It just you get rewarded whatever. For doing that.
We won our World Series this year. I'm good now.
But that's my problem with baseball. I mean, that's just not baseball, though. I feel like that's in life these days where you can do something like that and then get a pay raise eventually for doing something like that.
And I don't. What are you going to do, though, Jay?
We
can scream. We can holler. We can kick. We can jump on the tables. Clearly, they feel like he served his little one-year suspension. Come on back.
Fair enough. And for those that didn't follow last week, Cora's boss, A.J. Hinch, who was the manager of the Astros when the sign-stealing fiasco happened, actually was hired as the manager of the Detroit Tigers. And the general manager of the Tigers, Al Alvila, basically said, because remember, Hinch's suspension was until the end of the baseball season. He said 30 minutes after the Dodgers won the World Series, 30 minutes, he got on the phone and said, come on to Detroit. I want to do an interview with you. So to Jay's point, sometimes it just doesn't matter. If they like you, they like you.
Just cheat. You'll get a pay raise.
No matter the circumstances. Much or more on this story on the way, including the real numbers. It has nothing to do with baseball. The real numbers on why Cora was rehired. Wait till you hear this. We'll have our smart picks on the way, as well as we do every Friday in sports and movies.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Let's get right to it, starting with the Smart Picks, which are brought to you by Redbox, our friends at Redbox, the Smart Picks in sports. Let's get your quick thoughts, the Smart Pick in sports this week, and then the Smart Pick in movies, and then the big breaking news that the Red Sox have rehired Alex Cora. Key, you're up. Smart Pick in sports.
I'm going to take Clemson. I'm going to take Clemson over Notre Dame. I think that's a smart pick, even though DJU, I didn't want to screw it up, is going into a hostile environment without fans. It's still Notre Dame. Under the lights, big-time game for him. But I think he can handle it. Much like Brian Kelly said, the offensive line is there, but he doesn't need them because he's a terrific young freshman quarterback that led them on a comeback against Boston College a week ago. Now he gets a second full week at the quarterback spot. Hey, man. Plug and play. That's what Clemson has done for years at the quarterback spot under Dabo Swinney.
Really surprised you didn't pick your jacket.
Yeah, because I don't want to just keep being
a USC homer.
Well, huh?
Yeah, I mean you're allowed to.
Aren't you a Duke guy?
Yeah, I would love if Duke was on the schedule. If basketball was on the schedule,
they ain't gonna never be on the smart pick schedule for football. But anyway,
we're okay.
Go ahead.
Neither will USC for basketball. We're good. I'll go with the Saints and the Bucks. The Tom Brady revenge game.
Hard to top that one.
Yeah, that's going to be mine.
I'll go for Florida, Georgia. It's the other top 10 matchup in college football no one's talking about because everybody's talking
about the
cocktail. Uyangalele. I know you're jealous of that. All right, so the smart pick.
I see you, Georgia. I see you.
The smart pick on Redbox movie-wise is Antebellum from the same producers of Get Out and Us. Watch Antebellum for under $2 a night right now at Redbox. Did you know the idea for Antebellum happened as a result of a nightmare that the director and the writer of the film, Gerard Bush, had? He and director Christopher Renz then developed that nightmare into the thriller Antebellum.
Our smart
picks that keep you up at night, post-Halloween scary.
You know what? I want to switch mine. Can I switch mine?
Go ahead.
I'm taking Georgia. I'm taking the Bulldogs of Georgia. Way to go, Georgia. That's a good thing. Let's go.
All right.
Let's go, Bulldogs.
We'll see if the mailman delivers on Saturday. We'll see if Stetson Bennett delivers. Here we go. Movies that keep you up at night. Here we go. Get Out, classic, right? A recent classic. Yeah, I mean, younger people love it.
Yeah.
The Ring?
I don't know. It's just her coming out of the whole, when she came out with the hair down.
But that's unreal, I can't. But go ahead, keep going.
All right.
Oh, I Know What You Did Last Summer. That's a classic.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I got really excited for that.
No, it is.
Like
20
years ago.
It
was a big one.
What was it? What's the actress?
Nev Campbell.
Nev Campbell. But that's real. Breathing on the phone, playing with people like that. That's real. I like real horror. I don't like that fake horror.
That didn't scream to me. Kind of same boat.
Children of the Corn, last one.
You see, Children of the Corn. I'm with Children of the Corn. That there scares you. It's like being a kid. See, when I was growing up, never walked past any empty parking lots and fields. And when you get dropped off, you know, you want to make sure if you got to walk a certain block or something, you want to make sure you walk in the middle of the street, not on the edges near trees and sidewalks. Walk in the middle of the street late at night going home.
Yeah,
because it's scary.
I can't deal with stuff like that. Even Pet Sematary. My dad has a sick sense of humor. He would laugh when a little kid gets hit, and he's like, "No fair!" Like I can't watch movies.
See, Children
like that.
Of the Corn, though, you just cornfields and stuff like that. That's just not, you know, grab you and pull you into the corn.
I don't feel comfortable anywhere around.
That's
corn
real
fields,
though. No. It's weirdos out there. As I was talking to you about just in Los Angeles growing up as a kid, you had the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, which was the Night Stalker, the walk-in killer, all that, the Hillside Strangler. That stuff is real. I don't like that.
This is real. Last minute of the show, the Red Sox have rehired Alex Cora. They had their worst winning percentage since 1965. Their TV ratings plummeted 59%. They're one of the biggest brands and most popular teams in all of sports. It has plummeted. The new guy in charge, a guy named Chaim Bloom, in my opinion, hired Alex Cora because he did not want to see somebody else hire Alex Cora and have the amount of success he should have been having in Boston.
So you like the
go around. I do. I think he did it because he knows what Cora is capable of doing, and he didn't want to see Cora
doing
it.
He is capable of
doing
things, which is cheating.
So that's the deal. Alex Cora has been rehired as manager of the Boston Red Sox after leading them to the 2018 title, but resigning in disgrace after being the mastermind of the Astros scandal.
Huh, so win, resign, cheat. Then come back for more money and win.
Cheater, cheater, liar, liar, cheater, cheater.
See you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.